I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of No Small Roles, a D&D podcast where there are no small roles, but scryings and send-ins galore.
Woo-woo!
So many, the person who cast the spell doesn't always remember what the outcome was.
Oh no.
I'm David Knight, your Dungeon Master, and I'm joined by four intrepid interlopers. Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Hi. Does everyone want to wander into the Crown's Wood?
Yes.
I want to gallop and canter into the Crown's Wood.
Then let's cue the theme tune.
Into the darkness.
Into the woods.
Into the Fallopian Woods.
No.
I'm in the Crown's Wood. Crown's Wood.
Prepare your party of players and polyhedral dice. Your tragic backstory better be worth the sacrifice. Seize your sheets and D20.
Let's play D&D. Your haggard character swaggers with daggers in each hand. You've all discussed what you must, but even best laid plans. Take a turn when checks are missed.
Roll initiative. Brandish your blades. Don't fail your saves. No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is your story. No doubts, no glory. Confront your fate with every roll. Every
inside, one who will pay the price. Their chance of success all rests upon the dice.
No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is No Small Roles.
So, returning to the Swan Inn, Gwendolyn drunkenly passed out, whilst Juna caught Enkidu up with everything that had occurred at the Twaintide Tea Tournament Festival, including the revelations about Carhilda, all while tattooing him with a sending spell. With Gaius returning from his tryst with Eustace, the party rested and spent the morning preparing for the journey ahead. Enkidu used his sending tattoo to reach out to Scarpus, Eustace bid farewell to Gaius with a bunch of flowers which turned into butterflies, and Gwendolyn and Juna used a divination spell to learn that the dangerous omens of the Carhilda name were entirely up for interpretation. You looked at the Crownswood map that Enkidu had been given, discussed the local advice, and decided which paths to take. And as you readied yourself to leave, Juna quickly scried on Gwendolyn's mother, Sigrid, discovering that she was in the Dravanian royal palace. The scry was interrupted by the Petra-possessed Orin hiding in the bushes of the royal palace. With some quick sendings to confirm that Petra was attempting to gather allies, seemingly including Sigrid, you packed up and made your way out of the Swan Inn. And that's basically where we pick it up.
Shortest recap ever.
Yeah, I mean, it was all of that happened during and around breakfast. So you've got the rest of the day to you.
Yeah. Horsey time.
Yeah, I'm assuming you're all heading out, you're grabbing your horses, you're jumping on the road and traveling away, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you named your horses? That's my first question.
No, because we don't want them to die.
I've named mine.
What's yours called, Daryl?
Clanius.
Oh. Named after Clayne and Gaius, right?
No. I told Gwendolyn.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah. But
I've forgotten.
Know if
Everyone was around.
Oh. I'll go back and listen to the episode. It'll be fun.
Grace.
Yeah.
Could you call yours Peon and I'll call mine Fellow?
Oh, no. And I'll call mine Tubes.
Our horses are going to die. Horses are going to die.
Oh, what a shame. All four drop dead before you reach the Crown's Wood. Just something is passing in the air.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. Just, I don't mind you even changing the description, but what do each of your four horses look like as you all get them and travel along the road?
Didn't we just go for, like, horses that are basically the horse equivalents of our characters?
Yeah, that's temperament-wise, that's 100% what you went for. Yeah. But yeah, physically, like, what do your horses look like?
Mine's a piebald, a black and white horse with a black mane.
That's some proper horsey terminology there, Daryl.
Raiding with the piebalds, yeah.
I was going to be like, medium size, four legs. Yes, hoofs. Yeah. Mine's a brown mare that has plaits and loves herself.
Aww.
Mine's a feisty grey mare, and I'm going to call her Starlight.
Oh.
Sword Sky.
Stay away from Homelander.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Have I just cursed my horse by giving it a bad name?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Just
any fans of the boys out there, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, Carhilda, it goes with the theme.
Yeah,
it does. Can't go wrong at this
point.
Yeah,
Carhilda on the... fucking hell, I can't say words. Carhilda on the cursed horse. Da-da.
Yeah.
That was worth it.
Oh, that's a vocal warm-up. Carhilda on the cursed horse.
Mm.
Junas is a grey old Shetland that has a penchant for nibbling at different food on the road and befriending small creatures.
Love it.
I love that she's on a Shetland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you all make animal handling checks, please?
Ooh.
Okay. Yes.
I'm going to call mine Red Shirt.
Oh, I think this is my first animal handling of the campaign.
No.
Oh, really?
10 for Juna. Whoa there, girl.
7 for Gaius.
Oh, God.
12 for Enkidu.
11.
The journey along this road.
We're terrible Pokemon trainers.
There is a lot of people who are giving you very wide berths as the four of you are trying to trot along. Very much all four of these horses, Starlight and Clinais, seem to have, like, they nip at each other every time they get too close. multiple times. Gaius's horse is almost like tripped over Juna's, just because he's getting distracted. She's getting distracted. Yeah, it's a fun journey for all four of you, but eventually, after a couple of hours of trying to get these horses in line, you slowly and surely get them to do what you want and travel. Yay. Mostly the right direction with very little distraction.
I've put a red bow in her hair, so I'm going to call her Rouge.
Aww. I'm sticking with Tubes.
Yes.
They're gonna die. We've all named them now. They're gonna
we
die.
We care about them now.
We do, exactly.
Full name, Rouge Shirt.
And,
yeah.
And there's enough space for Ruana to ride on the horse too, even though it's tiny.
What is Ruana now?
She's still a dog.
She's a bloodhound.
Oh, yeah. So she like trots for a bit. Yeah, she just like...
Her ears are going all over the place.
She loves Tubes so much.
Oh. Come, Clania, show us the meaning of haste.
How each different character handles a new horse.
So it takes most of the rest of the day to reach the edge of the Crown's Wood. The road is becoming muddier under hoof. It narrows a little bit as it begins weaving between cedar trees. And very soon, even on the edge of this forest in front of you, the trees grow closer together. There's a deep green of their leaves, which means that even as it's getting darker toward the end of the day, within the forest, the light seems to disappear much quicker as these sort of leaves are obscuring most of the sky above you. There are dappled shafts of light as the sun's going down, so you've still got an eye on the road ahead, But the road is still fairly easy to see, fairly easy to follow. Thick moss is spreading across almost every trunk, and the further that you travel into this forest, the older that it feels, even though this is a fairly well-worn path. How far into the evening are you travelling?
We want to put some distance, don't we?
Yeah.
Before we get encumbered with the woods.
Ooh, how far is the wood stop, would you say, in terms of like relative like time from where we entered the forest?
So from what you've been told, it's about a 2 days journey through the forest. So from the edge of the forest to Woodstop, it's about 2 days to get there.
Oh,
and that's where we're aiming for, isn't it, first of all?
Yeah, to get last minute supplies before we head.
I think that's a good idea.
I am so overriding today.
Okay, let's call a halt here and make camp.
Is there, like, we can still sort of see things through the trees. We're not in thick forest yet. We're in like the...
You're not thick forest just yet, but yeah, you can see that the further in you get, the closer in these trees are getting to you.
But we're still on a path, right?
You're still on a path, yeah.
Was there a note about staying on the path? I forget.
Yeah, yeah, there was.
So we probably want...
And not to follow the twinkly lights, yeah. And no tree climbing.
No tree climbing. Good to know. Okay.
That's what it said on the map, yeah.
So do we just... We'll just pull over, David, I suppose. Could we ideally pull over where the road is... like at a slight hill as opposed to like in a dell, so we can maybe just see a bit further down the road either way.
Oh yeah, yeah, so more like a little top of a ridge as opposed to at the bottom of one. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, this road is sort of bumping around and weaving its way, so yeah, there's a little bit of space.
I think we'd be like looking out for a bit of like a clearing very close to the road, like with the warning we've been given.
Yeah. Make a survival check, whoever wants to. I'll say whoever it is can do it with advantage.
I think Gwendolyn would probably be quite keen to.
You go on, Gwen. Delhi. What are we calling you these days?
Oh, to be honest, call me whatever you want.
All right, whatever you want, you do the check.
That is the most dad joke you've ever done, Juna. Right. This
runs in the family, I've got to tell you.
Shout out to Papa G.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that is a 13.
A 13. So, yeah, it just takes you a little bit longer to travel to find somewhere that you're happy with. And whilst it's not a wide open clearing, it's just a spot that, yeah, it's sort of on a little bit of a ridge and the trees aren't as close to the edge. It just means that there's enough space for all of you and your horses and to set up a little perimeter without even getting, like, without blocking the road in any way at all.
And Gwendolyn, when we were in Vernock Rise and we did our little stealth shopping mission, she bought us like a new like tents and bits and bobs, yeah. So we can camp comfortably.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Oh, and Gwendolyn sets up her alarm.
So yeah, you set up your little camp. Who is taking first watch?
Well, I'll take first watch and I can stay up. I can forego sleep.
I'll stay up with you for a bit. I don't mind taking the first watch.
All right.
Gwendolyn is already asleep.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Well, I can take a turn if she, you know, decides to sleep all night. I don't mind.
Thank you, Enkidu.
Sure.
Guy just tunes and restrings his lute before retiring.
Kidu's going to fly up.
Cool.
He's going to fly upwards to the height of the trees, not to escape the canopy, but just to get the same height of the trees and... Well, before it gets too dark, see what's about.
Juna keeps a very firm eye on Enkidu.
Sure, as you sort of fly higher into the tree tops, first of all, it is sort of you peek, you can catch glimpses from between the branches across the top of the forest, and it is extensive. It sort of wanders out in almost every direction. There are little patches of open spots. And beyond them, you can already start to see the Phylosian Hills sort of creeping up, almost mountain-like in the distance. Sort of the far distance, a couple of, I'd say nearly a week's ride away, especially with the forest in the way. But you can just about see them. And it looks pretty normal for the treetops. You can hear sort of the birds and small critters moving around in the leaves around you. But nothing that worries you, I would say.
Okay. Just looking for like big animals and anything that shakes the tree line. That would be concerning.
T-Rex.
Movement in the trees.
The trees start parting. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, there's nothing. There's nothing quite
the
like
glass
that.
Of water ripples.
Yeah.
There's a
the
bit
jelly
of a breeze.
Shakes.
There's a bit of a breeze, so there is some like wafting in the trees, but nothing that looks unnatural.
All right, no walking trees just yet. After, like, he's reassured himself that there's nothing dangerous, immediately approaching, he'll flip back down back to the group. Mm-hmm. Okay, looks clear.
That's good. Mm. How are you doing, Enkidu?
Oh, I'm a little nervous, Miss Septhorn. This forest is much bigger than I anticipated. Like, it's really big.
Mm. Well, most things are really big to me, so.
Away? No, good.
And so begins the plot twist of the campaign.
Oh, no. A lot of potential for things to be hiding in these woods.
Yeah.
Yeah, just there. I'm going to do my best to keep my wits about me and not jump at shadows, you know?
I think that's a very good idea, and I think we need to stay together in here, don't we?
Aye, we do.
So, for the rest of the evening, I don't know how long the two of you want to stay awake for before you swap over, if you swap over at all.
Yeah, I've used quite a lot of magic today. I'm feeling a bit tired, actually.
Well, you turn in, Miss Septhorn. I can stay sat out here.
I'll send one of the others out. I don't think you should stay on your own.
Okay.
I think Gina's going to go and wake Guy up. She's going to let Gwen sleep. Guy, are you all right to take the second watch?
No, yeah. All quiet?
Very quiet.
Okay. What was that? No, I'm just kidding.
Keely just side-eyes him, not moving.
There is sort of a comfortable amount of natural noises around you. Whilst it is a very quiet night, it's not deathly silent. You know, you occasionally hear some smaller creatures moving through the forest. You might hear like the flap of some birds above, even through the night. At one point, a little group of rabbits seems to hop close to you before scurrying away back into the bushes.
Oh, I wish they'd have come out while I was on watch.
Oh, he would have spoken to them.
Yeah, would have been lovely.
I wonder why David just described them now.
I know, yeah, I wonder.
But the rest of the night goes off without any issue, without any worry at all. No sign of any little lights. But you pack up the next morning, jump on your horses, continue on the way. As you get further into the forest, the road occasionally becomes slightly trickier to navigate. Sort of the odd river and like a rivulet sort of crossover, and there are small bridges that have been built, small stone bridges, where needed. Sometimes you have to wade through some flooding with your horses. It's quite a warm space under all of these leaves, actually. And there is a small waft of a breeze that comes through the forest, which smells very nice. But you see very few people as you're travelling through, coming in either direction.
What does the breeze smell of, please?
Nature.
Oh, it's just generically nice. Cool.
Generically nice. Yeah, like yeah. It's especially having come from Forlos Vale into Vernock Horizon to Kissing Beck, it's having that sort of just open, natural sense, sort of these cedar trees especially that are dotted throughout the forest are really giving it's fresh air.
It's lovely, yeah.
Which is filling your lungs and making you feel healthier, even though you spend a lot of the day on horseback.
It's nice to be away from all the cities and the buildings and the people.
Aye, agreed.
Yeah, you know, I used to hate the outdoors. Growing up, it was always, you know, the hubbub and the smell of the city. But, and yeah, I also hated it when I was backpacking along Dravain. But, yeah, it's quite nice. Quite nice when you're in with a group.
Mm. I've been meaning to ask you guys. So what's the land of Aeland like? You know, do you have many forests and hills? Oh. I mean, I've seen maps, but I don't really have a real clue, you know?
Yeah, we got the whole lot, you know? We got, David, is there any like place near Fainhearth that I would have gone, you know, on like summer vacation or with like a group of like friends or like, you know, just a bunch of like, I don't know, my mum's like thug bodyguards and stuff like that?
So, yeah, just pulling up the map, Fainhearth, the city, is kind of surrounded by, it's right on a lake. So lakeside sort of dalliances, quite normal. But it's also surrounded by a group of mountains called the Eminent Peaks. So I can imagine that you probably went for like hikes through there occasionally, and sort of more foresty patches of that.
Oh, yeah. It does get foresty up towards Sulmarath.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't really like it. I wasn't like much of an outdoorsy type. You know, I was sort of thrust into it, you know, not for my own volition. So, yeah, I tended to like stay by the carriage and, you know, just play and fiddle with instruments and people and instruments. So, you know, yeah, like the outdoors was something that I had to sort of like adapt and learn to. So, yeah, it's nice. It's nice being able to like walk and at leisure. Well, not at leisure. I know we got to get somewhere, but you know what I mean? It almost every now and then I just feel like, you know, I forget sometimes riding with you guys that like, hey, it's life or death, or like there's a big picture going on. It's just like, oh, this is what it's like to have the horizon ahead of you with friends, you know?
Yeah.
It's nice.
I understand that. Yeah.
And you're not being paid to be with me. That's the nice thing as well. Well, you know, if I die, like your neck is on the line, like that's really nice as well. Yeah, I was more of a city boy, but you know, trees, right, yeah. They're nice.
Yeah, understand. Yeah, Drama's kind of similar. It's kind of weird, big sprawling city, but then you had mountains just outside. It's nothing quite like it.
Well, on the other side of the Iron Chain,
aye,
we were. Just over the mountain from each other.
Yeah, we were.
Aww.
Pryden's pretty rural, so definitely spent a lot of time in the woods and by the river and just exploring. Quite happily spend a day without seeing people.
You like roaming about and stuff like that, don't you, Deli?
Me?
Yeah, I can imagine you like up there, like, you know, in the hills, despite the mud and stuff like that. Like, you're just like squelching through there with your best shoes on.
Sometimes, yeah. I'd spend some time by myself and read, and I feel like with all the information that I've taken in on the past few days, it's nice to have a bit of peace to let my brain catch up.
How are you doing about all of that, Gwen? It's been quite a lot.
It's lots to think about. I'm glad I'm with all of you. Just wish Rowan was here.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, me three.
We all look at Enkidu.
And Keely kind of like snap, like snaps to attention, like, what?
Miss Orin?
I do. I'm concerned for him. I just hope Petra really keeps her word and keeps him safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's right in the middle of it, isn't he?
I bet he'll have some good stories.
Sure, he will.
Cut to the adventures of further adventures of Orin Quill.
Cut to Orin running screaming from the palace guards.
About what I saw in that scry, I keep thinking back to that thing that we read, the more Orcosian research required, who is guardian of the crown. Just as interesting that they've got people coming from Orcosh over.
Maybe she's part of like a delegation or, you know.
Yeah.
Something. Or maybe she's just hired guard.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not implicating Sigrid in anything. I just keep thinking about it. That's all. I'm worried for what they might want from the Orcosians.
Yeah, definitely something of concern there. Yeah. I have a feeling that once we get more clues into the nature of Henges, we'll see just how important Orcosian history and practices are to puzzling out this riddle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be nice to have more answers than questions for once.
Agreed.
Certainly. Definitely keen to do more Orcosian research.
Yeah.
No.
As you all travel on throughout the rest of the day, what's dinner? What's breakfast, lunch, and dinner looking like?
Nettle soup. Oh, no, we want the blueberries, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
We want to look for the blueberries, not the red berries.
I thought we had Enkidu's perfectly preserved pastries.
Oh yeah, vacuum sealed. Yeah.
Didn't you talk me out of putting it in there, or did I just get chastised for it? I don't know. So I can't remember putting them in there because I definitely would have done it.
I think you just got chastised.
Yeah, I don't think you vacuum sealed anything, but you probably still took the pastries.
Yeah. Well, they've got to eat those now because it's been like 2 days. So.
Rations as well.
And actually,
we would have stocked up on that sort of thing again when we were in Vernal Grows.
Yeah, all of the sort of like extra ingredients just to like boost up a nettle soup on the road. Like the soups.
Any rabbits about for dinner?
Yeah, there are a fair few rabbits if you want to go hunting a rabbit.
Anyone fancy rabbit?
I could do with a rabbit.
No, thanks, Miss Septon. You guys enjoy. I don't need to eat anyway.
But Juno, what you got to do is you can't talk to it, because if you make friends with it, I just can't eat it. I just can't.
Yeah, I agreed.
We find some very quiet, non-talkative rabbits to eat.
One lonely rabbit whose leg looks a little bit broken anyway.
Oh, no.
Now I see it. I can't kill it.
I can't. He throws a knife.
Oh, no.
Make your attack roll.
That's a natural 20.
Oh, no!
Oh.
Yeah, pure. It's an instant death for this little rabbit, which, again, in some ways is comforting. There was no pain in it. It was a very slick attack. But you've got rabbit meat if you want it.
It didn't suffer. And I suppose in the way it's like, you know, his energy is being passed on to us. It's the circle of life.
Juno skins and cooks the rabbit.
Yeah.
Kidu claps two hands together and bows praise to the rabbit.
So again, the rest of the evening, sort of as you push on, you find another good spot to settle into. Mark up your alarm, silver string, tie the horses up to make sure that they're not going to go trotting off in the middle of the night. Make sure that they've had a good drink and, you know, food as well. Who's taking first watch?
I will. I don't mind taking first watch. I want to have a cheeky scry.
Guys conked out.
Oh, can we have also done ascending on one of these days to Myra and Ferrocene? Because I'm getting really worried about them.
Yeah. Today's a good day to do ascending. Yeah. If we're about to go to bed, I want to rinse through the magic.
Go for it. Yeah.
Oh, you said that too enthusiastically, David.
Go for it. Go on. Nothing can go wrong.
Use all the magic.
Why don't myself and Juno start and you get to zone out for a little bit, Enkidu?
Sure. I think I'm going to go practice. He just finds a quiet spot. Weapon roulette. Fuck.
Knuckles.
Yes, it is actually. How do you keep guessing?
I can guess what you just from your reaction.
That was a really good guy. Got the brass knuckles. He's just going to play in the corner.
Yes, June, do you think we could message Myra and Ferrocene? They've been playing on my mind ever since I realised they hadn't made it to my father's yet. I know it's a long journey and I just want to see how they are.
Yeah.
Who would you rather message? Maybe Myra.
Oh, I was going to say Ferrocene. I'm happy to go for Myra.
Ferrocene probably knows more. Myra might be happier to hear your voice. Well, no, she wouldn't.
Myra's got a bit more of an attitude.
Maybe Ferrocene then, Ferrocene.
Yeah. Just a little, are you all right? Have you arrived? Where are you? That kind of thing.
That they're keeping safe.
So yeah, Juno sends, hi Ferrocene and Myra, thinking of you, where are you, are you safe, we hope so, hope you arrived, lots of love, Gwen, Juno. I ran out of space.
You do straight away hear Ferrocene's voice come to you. Interestingly, like where like you get a sense of like the person, Ferrocene's like the feeling of her is there's something about it's almost as if she's situated or like part of her aura, as it were, feels very much like her workshop. So you almost get like a sense of like place and person come through at once. Not that she's in that place, but like that same sort of feeling.
Like her identity is strongly linked with it.
Yeah.
Nice.
And she says, Juno, hello. We're a day or two off Pride and now. Got distracted with some troublemakers, but Myra let loose a little. Cheeky minx. And that's all you get.
So Juno relays that to Gwen and says, good that they're safe. Should we check who they've had a run-in with, maybe?
Maybe. Do you need to use your resources for other things?
I'm happy to do it if we just want to check what's going on.
Just in case it's anybody we might be aware of.
Or... Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So she messages back, good to hear from you. Glad you're nearly there. We'll message you again in a few days. Who was the run-in with? Love.
She goes, no one to worry about. Some local ruffians, thieves-like. Myra wanted to teach them a lesson, so got a bit carried away. We're good, though.
I think with that, like, we're good, though. She did sound like they were genuinely good, though.
Well, that's a relief.
Yeah. We'll check in with them again in a few days' time.
Yeah. And if they're near to Pride and then they're near to safety.
Yeah. The other person I wondered if we should check in with is, her name is gone. Your stepmom.
Ooh. Carhilda. No, that's my name.
Kasula.
Kasula. Grace and Vicky tried to do names. Retcon.
Names.
The other person I thought it might
imagine,
be.
Like, and Cutie's in the corner sweating, hesitating, going, Kasula?
Don't mind me,
the
just forgetting my mum's name.
The person you both lived with?
For years. Oh.
Kasula gone, Sigrid in.
Oh no.
Oh no.
No.
Like father, like daughter.
You take that back.
I immediately take it back.
I'm going to go ahead and retcon that. I just wondered whether we should be in contact with Kasula at some point as we disappeared.
Yes, we did ask her to see if she could get hold of the horses for us, to see if they were okay. She does know that we're in a more safe place, but it might
did
be worth...
Did we send that?
We did.
I can't keep track of the magic. good job you remember, Gwen.
No worries, that's what I'm here for, Juno. Grace and Vicky melt. But I think she knows that we're all right, and if you've got other people you'd like to contact, I'm not so sure we need to contact her right now, unless we want to see how everything's going with Berrien and Timon and get a feel for that, seeing as we're potentially thinking of making our way to Mervi at some point.
Yeah. I'm also kind of interested as to what the what was left behind when we left. It's not very urgent.
Well, I suppose when Clayne is ready to get in contact with us, he will. And I don't know how much I want to tell Kasula. The less she knows, the less people can try and get out of her.
Well, then we'll save it, yeah. And when you're ready to talk about all of this Carhilda stuff, you know I'm here, Gwen.
Yeah.
When you're ready.
I'm not 100% what there is to talk about, really, until we know more.
All right.
Did you want to scry on someone? That's fun.
I really do. Do you want to scry on someone?
I wish I could. Should I just hold your hand whilst you do it and kind of feel involved?
Sorry, David. I want to see what Heron's up to. She's worried about that. There's so many people she wants to scry on now. I'll forget it by the next episode anyway, so.
Perhaps, like, different members of the Children of Havoc could also Pellegrie, Giggles, perhaps. Now you've seen the vision of that Now that you've seen the vision of that gnome in Pellegrie's head, maybe we could try and find out who he is.
Oh, the dwarf.
Dwarf. That's. Do you know what? I went and repeated myself to say dwarf instead of gnome, and I said gnome a second time. Well done, me.
Yeah, I'm very worried that all of this is going on. So, yeah, should we give it a go? See if we can ID him?
Gwendolyn will hold Juna's hand, but she's actually just keeping lookout.
Juna's using magic before she goes to bed.
So, yep, you sit there with your sort of scrying orb, your amethyst thing, and concentrate on it. And again, this sort of like vision of a screen like drifts up before you. Who exactly is it that you're scrying on?
I'm going to attempt to scry on the dwarf who we know nothing about. So it's going to be, you're going to get some pluses to your wisdom saving throw.
Lovely. How many pluses do I get?
Some. Let me have a look.
Thank you. I will take some.
It's second hand. Yeah, that is. So it's second hand. So it's a plus five for your wisdom save.
So that ends up as a 17 altogether then.
That matches.
Meets it, beats it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you try and focus in. And whilst you do get a sense that you have found him, just in trying to actually focus in that vision, it never quite coalesces. Mm-hmm. And drifts apart after a while of trying.
Yeah, sorry, Gwen. I think I only have a very brief image of him and it wasn't connecting tonight.
That's all right. Just an idea.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a try. Yeah, we are going to have to deal with that particular string at some point. And I'm worried about Kierda.
I wonder how much he's actually wrapped up with the Children of Havoc, or whether he's got his own thing going on. I mean, other than obviously being one of the seven petals.
Mm. Yeah, sadly, I can't use my magic with him.
Hopefully we'll get some information soon.
Yeah.
I was thinking that I think that Giggles may have been inside Heron's place and that she maybe came through our homeward door. That's how she ended up in the henge when Orin saw her. Maybe that's why it was so quiet in Heron's, because she was meant to be guarding there.
Yeah. Oh, that's a very good idea. Very good theory.
Well, it's just something I've been thinking about. Maybe she helped Pellegrini escape.
Oh, there's a lot going on at the moment, isn't there, Gwen?
Yeah. Yeah. How many times can you scry a day?
Just the one. Oh. I might be able to do another one. I have sorcery points, don't I?
Ooh.
Do you want another cheeky scry?
Yes. But I don't think the DM is going to like it. Obviously, it would be quite nice to... Well, it'd be quite interesting to scry my mother again. It would also be quite nice to scry on Dwayne and see how he is. Because I don't know, I keep on feeling about awkward whether we should send him a message or not. I don't want to seem too keen, but I don't know really how I feel. But I kind of want to know how he is, and I want to know he's okay, and I want to know he's alive, and that sort of thing.
Baby David?
Scry on Dwayne if you want to.
Do you have anything of Dwayne's?
So begrudging. Like, I haven't prepared anything.
Well, I'm going to have to make a roll for him anyway, so...
Yeah. Oh, look at that. No,
it's oh, a... natural 20.
Do you have anything from...
He's not given you any of his hair or anything like that, has he?
Do you know what? A lock of his hair would have been lovely.
Wait, here's a question. Rules lawyer can, like, tell me to shut up. Because Gwen has a stronger connection to him, can Juna grant the spell to Gwen and Gwen cast it, and then it's a lower save?
I'll say because this is using sorcery points. It's not just, yeah.
Okay.
This isn't just using the, though, yeah, in the future. That's a really clever way around things.
Yeah.
But I have to have enough spell slots to be able to do that.
Yeah, also true.
Yeah. At the moment, I only have one spell slot. I'm using sorcery points to cast it this time.
I wish I did have something of his, but the only thing I have is this postcard that you got for me. It's got a bit of a picture of him on it.
It's better than nothing.
It's worth a try.
We scry on Dave. Dave?
Someone misses their husband.
I see how that happened. I can clearly see the Freudian logic there.
I want Jeremy to be my husband. So the two are just blending together.
VG4JC. We scry on Dwayne.
The deliberate pause on Dwayne.
I'll say it again so that you can cut out all of that gubbins. We scry on Dwayne.
Nice.
Talking of gubbins, Gwendolyn has been sewing gubbins.
This is such a silly episode.
So I rolled a 17.
Oh, minus things.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I don't know whether or not Dwayne has got... We'll say he's got a plus one. To wisdom, I assume he probably got a little bit more, but I'll just give him a plus probably one because I don't know the stat. So 18,
then it's
but
a minus seven.
Seven. Oh yeah, so definitely comes in under. So yeah, you concentrate, and you're having to use a little bit more of your internal energy to like power this spell up again, almost like drawing on like, you know, I'm a creature of fate. Like, come on, like the spell's got to work. Using your sorcery energy. And slowly it does form, and you see Dwayne stood on a balcony. It's nighttime, wherever he is. He seems quite relaxed, a little bit contemplative. But what you can see from like his point of view is he's sort of leaning against a balcony. He's got a drink in his hand. Behind him is sort of you can see glimpses of a almost like an office-type library space. It doesn't look so much like a bedroom, and there seems to be other people moving about further in, but he's almost like taking his time away from them. You can see nobody's really approaching him. Nobody's in any rush behind him either. But he's kind of looking out over a small city. From the architecture, the way that the sort of the stonework on this balcony and behind him. Juna, you've travelled through Aeland, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, so you do recognise
it. Because I'm from
it.
Sulmarath, so...
Exactly.
I would have come through going back to the woods up there.
You recognise it as Aelish stonework. But he seems relaxed. He seems at some kind of peace.
And how halfling / draconic is he currently?
He's mostly halfling. Mostly halfling. There is a bit of a sharper, bluer edge to him, though. Almost as if, he's relaxed a little bit more into that side of himself as well. And that's what you see.
Juna regales that to Gwen and says, on that note, shall we turn in and get the boys out for a watch?
Yes. I think Enkidu's building up quite a sweat with his knuckles over there. So, yeah. It's good to know Dwayne is alive. Really?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just as Juna falls to sleep, just for fun, she just sends Dwayne a sending saying, don't drink the milk. with a little like hee, like just as a little tidbit there for Dwayne. Please don't make us fight. Now I just wasted all my spells.
Insert Jeremy's response.
Juna, my dear, hello to you and all the others. And don't worry, I remain completely milk-free. Unless they ask nicely, of course.
Grace here, keeping you updated with all things No Small Roles related. Firstly, thank you to Sir Cano for a delightful review about how catchy our theme tune is. We couldn't be happier that we are your go-to D&D podcast and that we've inspired you and your friends to start playing too. Now, if you too would like to share your No Small Roles joy with the world, you can leave us a review on iTunes and Podchaser. You can also rate us 5 stars on Spotify. Patrons! Both episodes of A Familiar Problem, Rowana and Company are now available for your earholes. They will remain Patreon exclusive until mid-October, and then we shall release them on the main feed in celebration of Critical Role's visit to the UK. After Daryl's very successful run at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, he is now touring the UK with Yippie-Ki-Yay over the next few months, and there is the possibility that he'll be heading across the pond with the show as well. So as soon as we have those dates from Daryl, we will be sharing them here, but do keep an eye on his social media if you want to find out more. We also have some new theatrical endeavours to update you on. Ben is currently in rehearsals for Baba Yaga, a contemporary fairy tale adventure inspired by the Slavic stories of Baba Yaga, for everyone aged 6 years and above. It's a co-production from Theatre Hullabaloo in Darlington and Theatre Porto in Ellesmere Port, and we'll also be touring to the Egg Theatre in Bath. You'll find the ticket link in our show notes. And if you're looking for something a little more adult to enjoy this Christmas, then you'll find me at the iconic Royal Vauxhall Tavern for their panto Tossed, packed with big hit songs and more laughs per minute than any other grown-up panto. Plus, I'm playing a talking cow, so it's a must-see this Christmas season. But that's all from me for now. Let's get you back to our story.
So you all swap over, wake up Gaius, and Gaius and Enkidu are awake for a little bit. When it gets into the earlier hours of the morning, who's got the better passive perception, Gaius or Enkidu?
Probably Gaius. Mine's like 11.
Yeah, I got a pretty good passive perception. It's 15.
Oh, very nice. You're relaxing. You're keeping quiet, but having some polite conversation between the two of you. Nice and relaxed time. Having a little drink. Eating leftover rabbit. And just on the opposite side of the road, drifting between some of the trees, you start to see some little lights.
And Keanu dismisses the brass knuckles.
Guy will be like, right, should we get going?
Yeah, let's observe for now. But are the lights approaching us, or are they in the distance?
It's interesting. They are almost a similar colour to candlelight, and they are almost just bobbing forwards and backwards, probably about 3 or 4 trees beyond the other side of the road, but, you know, bright enough that they catch your attention.
Let's start get going. I guess it's like, you know, it's daybreak in like, what, an hour?
Yeah, which is strange that we got lights showing up now. In what direction are the lights coming from, David? If we're facing the hills, the mountains, facing the east.
Say they're kind of like to the south of you.
Oh, wait, sorry. We're on the north side.
Exactly. You're on the north side of the road, and all these lights are on the southern side.
Right, so the side of the road. Right, okay.
Good to know. I will wake up Gwen and Juno, relay this, and start suggesting we pack our bags and head on.
Yeah.
Who's keeping a watch of them?
I'll keep a watch on them.
Can you make a wisdom saving throw, please?
Goodness sake.
Oh, no!
Here we go. It's the last time I do that for you. I think that's a 15. Oh, wait. No, it's not. It's a 19.
19.
Oh,
nice.
I've not been checking my sheet properly to know that I've got a +5 in wisdom saves. I don't know how.
Oh, sweet.
Nice.
So you do get the sense the more that you watch them and the more they kind of bob forwards and backwards, you do take a couple of steps onto the road toward them before you kind of stop yourself from, like, walking too much closer. Like, you're keeping an eye, but you're not moving toward them. You get the sense that they kind of want you to, though.
Can I hear anything, or is it just a visual, like, kind of...
It's just visual. Make a perception check.
Oh, 16.
16, you can hear some small scurrying, I'd say, just, like, through the leaves around that distance.
I'm gonna tentatively shoot an Eldritch Blast in that direction, just to see what I disturb.
Tentatively. I tentatively cock my gun and fire it. Kaboom!
Make an attack roll for me.
That is a 22. No, wait, it's 24.
24, nice. So yeah, you sort of this streak of light like erupts out of you, like lights up the trees as it blasts its way through and even collides with one of the small lights, which, you know, seems to retract very quickly, and the others sort of scatter about a little bit, very haphazardly, slightly higher up into the trees, but they still kind of drift there a little bit further off.
Hey, Enkidu, you gotta be careful. We don't know if we want to, like, anger these little things.
Well, they've already started their kind of attack. I almost fell under their kind of spell. Don't look at them. Don't look at them directly.
Well, they are okay. Quite pretty, though.
Don't look, Deli.
I clasp my hands around Deli's eyes.
I've just woken up again, and I just, you know.
All right, don't.
Don't follow the light.
No, sorry.
They just don't seem that dangerous.
No, they're obviously going to pull you somewhere that you don't know. Don't look into them. They seem to be sentient somehow. I hit one of them, and then the rest of them reacted. So let's get away from them, carefully.
Gwendolyn's trying not to look, but she does look.
Where's the horses, David?
Where are the horses? Oh, no, where are the horses?
They're tied up. They're tied up with you within the alarm space.
Please
say
we had blinders for the horses while they slept.
Yeah. You bought all of the stuff you needed for horses to relax themselves.
Oh my
gosh. As you are all packing up, though, and all just trying to not look at these lights, can you make a wisdom saving throw, please?
Oh.
Every single one of yous.
Oh,
every
no.
Every single one of us.
Is it against magic?
No.
Okay.
What?
Then, no, I have advantage if it's magic.
David, am I trying to be charmed?
Yes.
Then I have advantage.
Sweet. Can I get some of that advantage? I just rolled a natural one.
Oh, no. Ooh. I rolled 19.
I rolled a natural 20 for a 22. Whoa.
That's
good
great.
For y'all.
I rolled a 12, even with advantage. I rolled a 9 and then an 8, so I've got 12.
So, yeah, Enkidu and Gaius, where the two of you are very certain that you want to make sure that no one's looking at them, you, like, Enkidu, you're like, okay, I know what they're trying to do. I'm going to keep an eye on where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And also try and stop everyone else looking at them, so I've got to keep watching them. Gaius, you sort of do much the same. Like, you're like, yeah, cover Gwendolyn's eyes.
Ugh,
start packing up the thing. And it's not long before the two of you find yourselves slowly, as you're sort of packing stuff up, just like edging your way across the road.
Are we aware we're doing this, David?
Yes. Yeah.
No, Guy, Enkidu!
And Enkidu
is not to look.
A couple of trees in. I'll say, especially with a natural one, just before you even catch yourselves again, the lights are much closer to you than Kidu. You almost feel like you could reach out and like blow them out if you just stepped a couple of trees closer.
His arm would raise up slowly as if to touch it.
Enkidu,
what are you doing?
June is trying to pull him back, but it's obviously not very good at that.
If Gaius is aware of this, he's self-aware, Gaius is going to cast Charm Person on Enkidu.
Nice.
That's brilliant.
What do I roll to save?
That's a wisdom save, mate.
Oh, do I... Oh, wait, I'm not... Am I self-aware or am I not self-aware? I can't help
you
but
are...
walk towards them, right?
Exactly. You're self-aware of what's... You're aware, yeah, what's happening. But there is still almost the compulsion to keep moving towards them.
It's like the forest equivalent of frosting.
Yeah, it's hypnotic.
Do I know that Guy has cast the spell on me?
I think so. How does that spell work, Gaius?
Yeah.
Basically, I cast it, let's see, in a range of 30 feet. I cast it obviously through like my music. So I whip out my lute very quickly and just play a few strums. Yeah, that's how it's done, and it's a saving throw. If you're charmed by me, then, you know, it basically regards me as a friendly acquaintance, and you do your best to help your friend.
All right, so I can choose to fail the save, right?
Yeah, I'll say so.
Okay, cool. Then I won't save.
I'll just be like, hey, buddy, I need help over here. You know, we need to get these things sorted. We need to get on the road. My back's really hurting. You know, I really need your help with this things right here over here. So you better come back over here.
I almost imagine that Gaius is like saying this, moving right up to Enkidu, but still slightly walking towards the lights.
it's almost like I'm a drunk walking downhill, being like, "No, we gotta go back there. Yeah. We gotta go back there."
Exactly that.
I'm like, "Well, I want to go this way."
Like, if I can get to Enkidu and start pulling him backwards, but I'm trying to get him to like meet in the middle somehow.
Exactly.
Okay, here's the thing. If I'm being compelled by two different forces now, do I roll to decide which one is stronger, has a stronger effect on me? Or is it stronger because I failed the save against Chris intentionally? I don't know, because I failed both.
You just have to try to do both at the same time. You want to move towards these lights, but you're hearing your friend who's saying maybe we shouldn't, so it's like, but at the same time, your friend who's saying we shouldn't is also wandering toward the same place that you want to go, so...
Guys, you need to make up your mind. I think I can't move. I really, really want to leave with you right now, but I'm actually going to go over this way at the same time.
Yeah, Juna and Gwendolyn sort of like rushing in behind the two of them as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think Gwendolyn's going to kind of rush in and try and grab... I suppose it looks like Gaius is trying to grab Enkidu, so Gwendolyn's going to try and grab Gaius in a kind of chain.
And I think Juna this whole time has been holding on to Enkidu as he's been walking, just sort of trying to pull him back, but I imagine that she's not going to get very far with that.
As the sort of four of you start like huddling in and just pulling each other, you realise that the leaves under your feet, sort of like the moss and the leaves, have just become ever so slightly stickier. And as you take a few more like sort of struggling steps with everybody, you find it almost like your feet are tangling up in something in the darkness.
Dear.
Classic.
Gwendolyn's going to be trying to kick off the tangled things off her feet. She's going to be trying to attack the floor.
Sure. So you sort of stop for a moment and start like, you know, trying to pull it up. And as you can't see much, but these lights do just are casting like sort of little dim reflections and things across, and it's quite like a sticky mess under your feet. And even as you reach down and try to like pull some of it off, like you realize that your fingers stick together quite easily in this gunk.
Oh dear.
And then the lights go out.
Oh no.
Can you all roll initiative, please?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Do it.
Fudge it was all going me. Just too like silly that I could feel something brewing.
I rolled a natural one.
Me too.
Well, you can't roll a natural one for initiative, can you? It doesn't count as a failure. You just add your
Definitely have to go last.
No, though. Yeah. But I mean, depends. My initiative is pretty good, so I'm on 7.
Mm. Nice.
I'm on 4 in total.
Ugh.
Nice. Oh no, 5.
5 for Juna, 7 for Gaius. Enkidu?
18.
And Gwendolyn?
20 for Gwendolyn.
Hey,
nice.
We went up in ascending order.
Yeah, we did. Looking up my screen.
So, as the lights go out, the sort of the charm effect, that feeling of wanting to move any closer, is gone for both Gaius and Enkidu. You realise that you have gotten yourself slightly stuck, but there's no compulsion to move any further into this little natural trap that's been laid for you. However, what the four of you do suddenly feel are small things dropping from the trees above you skittering down your arms, down your legs, and covering like. Not covering, but like, so yeah, moving down your head, down your shoulders, across your stomachs, and then they start biting.
What?
What's everybody's ACs? Because that's going to be a quicker way to do this.
Oh no.
16.
18. 15. 13. 13?
What?
Man, we need to get you some armor.
I know.
I feel like I had some sort of spell at some point that I was.
Mage armor?
Oh yeah, there was a mage armor, something or other, but I've not got that in the middle of the woods in the middle of the night, have I?
It's a spell.
I definitely had the wand of that at some point because my AC is so low, but there's nothing I could do about
that
now.
Did we lose that?
potentially. I don't know.
Or we don't have a battery for it, but you can channel a spell slot into it.
Do I have time to do that, David?
Maybe on your turn.
Cool. So yeah, 13 then.
Sure. So Gwendolyn, Enkidu and Juna, you sort of, all of you are feeling these like sort of these bites, and it almost feels like insect bites that start like popping, like almost mosquito-y, sort of like running their ways up and down your body. Juna, Gwendolyn and Enkidu, you feel something sort of almost get between your clothes, get between your armor, find a patch of skin and just sink some fang, some little proboscis into you. So you each take 10 points of piercing damage.
How much?
Oh.
10 points.
I heard what he said, but I couldn't believe it.
Yep. As these little things, unseen insects, sort of latch on, and you can feel them sort of like biting, sucking, and just like genuinely being a little pain. Gaius, you start like, yeah, batting them away, and luckily none of them bite you just yet. But Gwendolyn, it's your turn.
Gwendolyn is going to try and run to the road.
Yes, you are semi-stuck at the moment, though. Okay. So it is a bit of a sort of trying to like loosen your legs is proving incredibly difficult.
Okay. Does that mean I have half movement, or do I have to do a...
Make a dexterity saving throw for me.
18?
18, yeah, that's enough. Sort of like, yeah, you pull your feet free, just enough that you get like one foot like out of a bit patch of stickiness, pull the other one and like, yeah, stumble your way out toward the road.
And then she wants to, I don't know if this kind of works as an attack, but like kind of throw herself, like, because the road is much more like, I mean, is it
solid?
Stony? It's more solid than the forest floor. She wants to kind of throw herself to the floor and like roll to try and like splat any of these bugs. So I suppose that's kind of an unarmored strike.
Sure, yeah, I'll allow it as an unarmored strike.
So that's 20 to hit some buggies.
20 does hit some buggies. How much damage you got?
That is going to be
9 points of damage.
Sweet. You do feel definite bug squishes around you.
Great. Okay, so can I just like flurry of blows it and do another like 2 rolls?
Slapping anywhere that you feel.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, just trying to like roll of the dice and a roll of my body and just slapping and just like trying to get everything off me. Now I'm not directly under trees ish. That is a 17.
17 does hit.
And that's 5 points of damage. And then my last one. That is an 11.
An 11 doesn't hit, unfortunately.
That's fair.
Yeah, you feel like something scurry, like almost up your neck, and as you sort of slap it away, it's almost gone too far and is sort of then up into your hair.
As my free action, going to shout to my friends to be like, get out of the forest!
Nice. And Kidu, it's your turn.
Yep, time to quit this shit. He crosses his arms before his chest. He'll breathe out some mist as his body temperature plummets as he casts Armor of Agathys on himself.
Oh, nice.
Fuck these bugs. So he'll cast that. Can't cast anything else, I'm jumped. So yeah, he'll try to kind of walk free as best as he can to get back towards Delhi and the horses.
Make a dexterity saving throw for us.
Wonderful. Never mind. I rolled a natural 2.
So yeah, you take like half a step and almost like fall onto one knee and feel like the stickiness just like wrap itself around your leg.
Oh no, yeah, that's it. I think
just slap away at all of these bugs.
Yeah, I'm just trying to like shimmy them down. Hopefully the cold armor freezes the ones that are already on his body.
Mm-hmm. Gaius, what are you doing?
Just so I'm clear, which of the two looks more like in trouble at the moment in terms of is it Juna or is it Enkidu?
Both seem to be pretty covered in stuff from what you can see in the dark. I mean, you elvish eyes anyway, but
from my knowledge, do I know who's the most dexterous?
Yeah, I'd say so. You've adventured long enough, you know who's better at getting out of scrapes and things.
Cool. Guys, who's got the higher dex?
17.
16.
Okay, I'm gonna grab Juna because I assume she's near me because she was pulling at me and then Kido, and I'm just gonna be like, "Do you trust me?"
Yes.
And then I will pull her back onto the floor, and rather than falling onto a floor, we fall sort of vertically through the air and then land on the road as I've cast Dimension Door.
Sweet.
Whoa.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. You sort of like pull her and like just roll backwards into
We fall backwards, but we actually end up stepping onto the road, like stood up.
That is so cool.
The bugs that are currently on you are still on you as they've sort of come through the portal together, but at least you are out of the sort of sticky space.
Yeah.
As it were.
Cool.
Have you got anything else?
Gosh, I don't think these bugs can be like persuaded, can they? Because they're like all different entities and stuff like that. So I'm going to just simply cast Healing Word on Enkidu. And it's going to be 6.
Nice.
Actually, no, I'm going to do that at second level. It's going to be, 12.
Well, I'm back up to full because I only lost 10 hit points and I got the 15 temporary hit points.
Cool, so you're good.
Sweet. Boom.
Nice. In which case, Juna, it's your turn.
The first thing she's going to do is remember that she can power up the wand with a cheeky spell slot and cast mage armor on herself. She suddenly feels very vulnerable.
So that raises your armor to 18, doesn't it?
No, 16, because my dex modifier is only 3. So that's the first thing that she's going to do. Are there like lots of little bugs around?
All around, all over you and Gaius, and a few on Gwendolyn, who's rolling around on the road beside you as well.
I don't think I have any magic that's going to really help get rid of them, other than just I'm going to try and swat as many with my quarterstaff as I can.
Absolutely. Make an attack roll, please.
19 to hit.
Oh, 19 hits. Yeah, roll your damage.
Lovely. 5. I'm going to use a sorcery point just because I really want to cast a cantrip, which is Green Flame Blade. So as she swats a bug, does she just like hit one bug?
Yes. So she's basically like hit like one of the swarm that's rushing over you.
So as she does that, she casts Green Flame Blade, which is really hard to say. And so what then happens is from the quarterstaff, this sort of green electricity jumps. Is there another bug within 5 feet of the one that I've hit?
Well, there's a couple on Gaius as well.
So the nearest bug to the one I've just swatted gets like I'm trying to barbecue it with this green electricity, and the damage, 8.
8 points of damage, amazing. Yeah. And as this sort of like arc of green energy sort of like bounces off of you and like sort of surrounds the Gaius and like zaps some of the bugs on him, you do catch just a glimpse of a little bit more of what they look like, and they are probably about like palm-sized spidery type things. Sort of at some of them have got a slightly more bulbous abdomens that as this sort of energy sort of shocks them, they glow ever so slightly before fizzling out and just falling off of him.
Ooh.
Oh, and then she also says, "Thank you, Guy." I should have said that at the beginning of my go.
It is then their turn. And those of you who have a bug attached, Gwendolyn, Juna, and Enkidu, you instantly take 10 points of damage.
Jeez.
As you feel the ones that have already bitten into your skin just like continue to chow down. I was going to say, the ones that are attached to you, they take more damage, right, Enkidu?
They take 20 points of damage each, cold damage.
Oh, sweet. So yeah, the one as it sort of like bites further into you, you just suddenly feel like an ice cube like sort of solidify on your arm and just like fall off. Amazing. But then the rest of them that are still scurrying around all of you do try to take more bites. But Gwendolyn, one more, takes another chunk and latches on. That's another 10 points of damage for you, Gwendolyn.
Wait a minute, so that means I'm taking 20 total damage.
That's right.
What?
Enkidu, one more takes a bite of you. Does it take more icy damage?
Yeah.
Amazing. So again, it fizzles up and like almost like, slides off of you. And you can feel the others like trying to catch a grip of you and just falling off of this like icy shield that you've created around yourself.
Nice.
Gaius, you feel one has crawled almost through a small hole in your trousers.
Oh, no.
And it's just, like, taken, like, has chunked itself into your shin. So you take 10 points of damage.
Oh, it's so bony.
And Juna, you feel two more. Sort of one on a shoulder and the other down the opposite arm latch on. So you take another 20 points of damage as well.
Is this with my new armor class?
Yes, unfortunately it is.
Juna's not looking great.
Oh no, already?
Yeah.
Gwendolyn, it's your turn.
Can I, like, work out how many are on me?
I think you've got two on you at the moment.
Okay, can I see how many are on Juna?
Juna's got three stuck on her. Gaius has got one on him, and Enkidu's a little bit further off. All you can see is, like, this shiny, almost, like, misty, like, smoke machine out in the forest. Okay. He seems all right.
This is what I'm going to do. I am going to get out the Rose War fan.
And
I am going to hope upon all hopes that throwing it at one of the ones that I can see on Juna, I can get it to blast off her. Like, if I can see a very clear one that's not going to, like, not too close to anything major on Juna.
Nice.
Juna says to Gwen, I believe in you!
Okay! So that's what I'm going to do. That is a 18 to hit the a bug on Juna.
18 hits, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and because I'm using it as a monk weapon, I do gain a plus one bonus to my AC, so I'm currently 16 is my AC now.
Nice.
And because it is a monk weapon, I can use... I get a D4. I get a D6 because that's my martial arts dice. And I get to add my dexterity modifier. So that is 8 points of damage to that one on Juna.
Amazing. Yeah, and it knocks one of them off as this sort of fragrant fan comes, like, wafting past you, Gaius, sort of slamming into one of the bugs on Juna's arm, scattering that and a couple more off as well, and then just disappearing in a puff of petals.
What was that?
As it returns to me, I am going to do exactly the same thing on another bug that I see on Juna, hopefully. Oh, that's a 10.
A 10 unfortunately doesn't. Again, it gets very close, but just as you were aiming for the one on Juna's shoulder, there's just a small flinch from Juna. It's very close to her face.
Yeah.
I still believe in you.
Which unfortunately just, like, makes it miss.
I'm going to spend a key point to use Flurry of Blows on my bonus action so I get two more unarmored hits.
Yeah.
And I am going to try and punch a bug off Juna.
Nice.
I really want you to do this.
Which is a 12.
12 hits.
Yeah!
Yay! Okay.
That is 9 points of damage.
Another 9 points of damage, amazing.
Okay, and one more bug to try and get off Juna with my final of the two flurry of blows. Oh, but I don't think I'm going to do it because that's an 8.
An 8 does not hit, unfortunately. Okay. But two bugs are off of Juna with this sort of, like, flurry of fan and punching. Very well done. And Kidu, it's your turn. First of all, you realise that with the armour sort of very definitely doing its job, you don't have any of the insects on you. And in fact, even the ones sort of close around your feet are starting to scurry away.
Sweet.
I don't know how much of that you can see in the dark.
Oh, I gave up my eyesight in the dark a long time ago. I can't see shit.
So you just have an awareness that everybody is, like, you know, you've seen the flash of Dimension Door. You kind of have an idea of where everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, beyond that, you're not... you can see the outline of some trees in front of you.
Right.
You've seen the green flame blade go, this barbecue one. Yeah.
So I can't see where Juna is.
You've got an idea, though, but yeah, you're going to have to move over there to to get a clear.
Oh, wait. I've got an idea, then. All right, cool. Seeing that there's no bugs on me, I'm going to put a turn and face where I think the others are. And I'm going to misty step through the darkness.
Yeah.
Into that direction.
I love it. Can you make a charisma check?
Oh, wow. It'd be really hilarious if I fail that, right? Plus 8.
Well, yeah.
Come on, Abraca lad.
21.
21. Yeah. You sort of, you trust in your magic, you trust in your own skills, and you land just behind, on the opposite side, just outside of Gwendolyn's like alarm ring. But you'd land close enough that you can see everyone around you.
Great. Can I see a bug on Juna?
Yes, I will allow it with a 21.
Okay. Receptor, please try to hold still, and he will like point his finger.
is it another tentative?
he's gonna like, if I've seen Yu Hakusho when he uses like the spirit gun, he just points his fingers and shoots this beam. He's gonna pop two shots with his finger at the bug.
Tentatively, nice. I put my grenades in my grenade launcher.
Tentatively, I shoot my friend with a rifle.
Twice.
Well, I'll shoot one to see if it hit. Oh, I can't hop. It's one action, two shots. So
yeah, yep. Boom, exactly. Boom. Two shots are coming out.
Oh no. here we go. Fuck you, bugs. Myself, bug.
Juna holds very still.
One of them is a natural one.
Oh,
so that's good. And the other one was a 24.
So 24 hits. Roll damage for 24.
But is it 2d10s or is it 1d10?
And then Kidu kills Juna.
Juna dies.
With an eldritch blast.
Oh, maybe.
That's 14 points of force damage.
14 points. Nice. So the bug is decimated with one of the shots. However, as you are then pulling back going, I got that bug, the second shot goes off. My question would be...
Oh, no!
It was a natural one.
It was a natural one. I'm going to give you the choice of moving your finger out of the way of Juna or knowing that it's going to hit Juna in the shoulder.
Wait, out...
So you can move it out of the way and not know what it's going to hit, or you can knowingly
hit Juna.
I
can't hit Juna. Ikiru cannot hit Juna. You cannot do that. You would just like... shoot it the other way.
Amazing. Gwendolyn and Gaius, who wants odds, who wants evens?
Oh,
oh my god.
I'll have odds.
I'll have evens in that case.
3. It's an odd. So as you sort of pull back, unfortunately, yeah, Gaius gets the shot in his side instead. So if you could roll damage there.
Oh no, I still rolled damage on that.
He was probably the closest as well.
He was currently shaking his leg, like...
I'm really sorry, buddy. That's 12 points of force damage.
That's okay, pal. I can take it.
Amazing. Gaius, it's then your turn.
I'm going to try and not take that personally. And he is going to play a song of healing. And all of you feel, you get this sense that this is possibly the most powerful you've felt, this healing. As I'm going to use a 5th level spell slot to cast Mass Cure Wounds.
Whoa.
So every single one of you, including myself, is going to get 3d8 plus 4.
Wow.
Oh, hefty.
22 points of healing for everyone as you just suddenly all feel
I
a little
really
bit...
needed that.
Yeah, you all feel a little bit like your wounds are like sort of mending and healing at a fast rate. Sort of like almost like a warm... medic pack has just been slammed on there. Your hot water bottle has just gone right in there. And it's seared your skin. You know when you put it on like on contact when it's just like brand new? But you know it's a good sear. And then you look down and it's a bit more healed.
Thank you, guy. And there's still quite a lot going on with Juna, but that's much better.
Yeah, and just to be clear as well, Enkidu is still in the forest?
Oh yeah, he's right next to you.
No, so he's on the road then.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Enkidu is like bamfed. He's teleported out, so
yeah,
he stood
it.
Next to you guys.
Fine.
Yeah.
I'll bardically inspire Juna. Oh, Juna, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Juna.
Amazing. It's then Juna's turn.
So I currently don't have any bugs on me. Is this correct?
Think so. Yeah.
Because Enkidu got one.
Enkidu's
then...
blasted the third.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. So yeah, bug check. Gwendolyn's got still 2 on her.
Uh-huh.
Gaius has got 1,
uh-huh.
But Enkidu and Juna are free of bugs.
Cool. And I'm next to Guy, aren't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll say, to be honest, as you're all sort of like, you're all within 5 feet of each other as you've been like sort of slapping bugs off of each other and like gathering in.
It's one of my trousers.
Oh, then in that case, yeah, if Guy says that, Juna's going to go for the trouser one.
Ah, as a free action, I drop my pants.
Oh no.
As a free action, I raise my eyebrow. So yeah, melee attack.
Amazing, make your attack.
13?
13 does hit, yeah.
Oh my god.
Great. So there, 2 points of damage, you dumb bug.
I'll say the one on Gaius's leg is still attached, but it does get, like, you whack it and it's sort of like, it's almost like slightly squished against his leg, even though it's like little hooks are still like going in there.
And then I'm going to cast Green Flame Blade again, obviously, if everyone's within 5 feet, and send the green flame over to one of the ones on Gwen, please.
Yeah. So roll your damage for that.
Oh, that's a 9 for damage.
9 points of damage. Amazing.
Yeah.
So I'll say, barbecue. Yeah, one of the bugs, yeah, gets sizzled and falls off of you, Gwendolyn.
Oh.
Junior, have you got anything else?
No.
It is then their turn. So yeah, at the top of the round, Gwendolyn and Gaius, you both take 10 points of damage as the ones attached to you continue to bite, suck. There's a weird other feeling happening, but then they make their attacks. So Gwendolyn, one of them, the same one that's already bitten you, sort of bites in again, so you take another 10 points of damage. And Gaius,
I've got 16 AC now.
Yep, I rolled a 17.
Okay, fine.
I've written down all of your ACs, so I'm only saying the ones that actually attack. Okay. Like, and Gaius, yeah, again, just one, the same one, sort of continues to hurt you. So you take another 10 points of damage.
Cool.
Gwendolyn, it's your turn.
She's getting really annoyed, so she is going to try and grab this final bug that's on her and like smash it into the ground is what she's trying to do.
Okay.
And stomp on it. So do you think that's two attacks?
No, I'll count that as one.
Okay.
Sort of a pull off and a stamp.
Okay, pull off and a stamp. That is a 16.
16 hits, yeah.
9 points of damage.
9 points, amazing.
Very
stuff.
Good at rolling sixes on sixes.
So yeah, sort of you pull this off, throw it to the ground, stamp on it, and like wipe the last of them off of you, and they sort of, you can see that they're kind of scurrying away across the floor.
Yeah.
Gaius is still rolling around. June has just whacked him in the leg.
Okay.
He's got his pants around his ankles.
I'm going to try and help my friend out of his misery with my second attack. That is a 17.
17 also hits.
So yeah, I'm trying to do the same, pulling it off and smashing it under my boot.
Amazing. And yeah,
squelch.
With that. Yeah, you sort of pull this one off. Squelch it with the other boot.
I didn't roll damage. That's a 6 damage.
Six. Amazing. That's, yeah, more than enough.
Great.
And then, like, yeah, you use your last sort of little flurry just to, like, dust any of the last bugs that you can see off of everybody. And as quickly as it started, you all take a very deep breath, step off of the road. Again, still kind of feeling icky. But you're quite happy that there is nothing else on any of you.
Oh, that was gross.
What were they?
So let's leave. Let's run.
I don't need to sleep anymore. Let's just move. Let's move. Gaius, do you probably want to pull up your...
Oh, yeah. Thanks. He was just surveying the scene with his trousers around his ankles. He'll put himself back together and he will cast a healing word to Gwendolyn, which will be at second level. And she only gets back a measly 6. Sorry, I rolled 2 ones.
That's all right.
And guys will do the same. And he rolls a 2 and a 4 with a 4. So that's going to be 10. He gets back 10.
Nice.
Then grab the horses and go.
Before we do that, I'm going to cast Cure Wounds on myself at second level. She's going to just sort of give herself a little pat down. Ooh, 10. So I get 15 points of hit points back.
Nice.
Enkidu sneezes.
You cold, Enkidu?
Yeah, never cast this before. Yeah, I get an armor of cold.
Oh.
Should wear off in an hour.
Gwendolyn, like, goes near to Enkidu and, like, goes near the armor to see if it, like, affects it. Like, she's just, like, breathing on it. How does that work, breathing on cold things?
I think you just get... Mist? Oh, my goodness.
Does she write her name in the, like...
If I touch it, will it hurt me?
You should probably not touch it.
I'm not going to touch it.
yeah, pain and damage is reflected off the
armor.
Can
you scrape little bits of ice off and make a tiny snowman?
Well, it's kind of like intangible. It's not like, you know, physical. Do you know what I mean? It's a magical force field. Not so much like my armor just got cold.
Gwendolyn is just like, look, like scrutinizing. Does she actually see anything? Does it just look like his normal armor?
Yeah, it's like a spectral frost. So you can see something like maybe like a little faint little shimmer over the armor.
If I was to shoot a bolt at you, would I get hurt because it's ranged?
No, only if something actually touches me, like physically.
Oh, are you able to get on your horse whilst you're like that?
Hopefully I could just end the spell, right? I could just end the spell, right? Can I just do that?
Yeah, you can. You can end the spell. Also,
I will drop my new armor for fear that my friends are going to touch it.
or kill my own horse.
Yeah.
And freeze it to death for an hour underneath me. Like, oh no.
But you do all finish, yeah, quickly packing up as hurriedly as you can.
Just like constantly like wiping bits of leftover goo.
Exactly. You can almost feel that they're like that feeling of like a bug crawling over your skin. Again, it's horrible. But you pack up and set off as quickly as you can. And it's not long, again, about an hour and a half before the sun starts to rise anyway. So
great.
That sort of feeling of like things in the darkness quickly goes. As you sort of edge toward lunchtime, Gaius and Gwendolyn, that like itchy feeling hasn't quite gone.
Oh no.
For you. Like the whole day, like Junarin and Kidu, like you've kind of like brushed it off a little bit. But for Gwendolyn and Gaius, like Gaius, your leg is particularly itchy. Gwendolyn, it's almost like something got onto like your side, almost your ribs.
Oh no.
And bit you just there, and like the whole day it's just like you can't stop. And as you sort of stop for a little bit during the day just to sit down and, you know, eat some lunch, Gaius, sort of you're scratching your leg and you pull up your trousers just a little bit to, you know, properly get in there, and there's just a very soft glow underneath your skin.
Oh no.
Oh boy.
And that's where we're going to end the episode.
Oh no.
Gross.
You'd have to do some shit like to this to me at level 9. Do you know what comes for me at level 10? Fuck you, David.
What comes at level 10?
Purity of body. So I'm like going to be like, but I'm one level away from that.
So you're getting this in before she levels up, David.
I might have had a quick look at everybody's abilities.
Fuck you.
So it's on also Gwendolyn pretty. And me.
Yeah.
You have been listening to David Knight as your Dungeon Master, Chris Watts as Gaius, Daryl Bailey as Enkidu, Grace Kelly Miller as Gwendolyn, and Vicky Gaskin as Juna, with original music by David Knight. Please tell your friends, subscribe, and follow us on all the social media. Thank you for listening to No Small Roles. And on for now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.